heeft ons geen fluit. Boetes en bankrommen kan ons niet schelen. Wij zenden uit, we laten ons niets bevelen. Wij zenden uit, tot het eruit spuit.
Patapo forever! Ja, die is goed.
Good morning, chest. We will start, of course, with 8 minutes of live silence. Andreas will ring the chimes to begin with, and Lou will ring the chimes to end the silence.
Solarium, aquarium, terrarium.
Chest!
Vivarium, mycelium, mitalium.
Chest!
Aluminum, maximum, meltimum.
Chest!
Opacium, contaminum, absentium.
Chest!
Solarium, aquarium, terrarium.
Chest!
Vivarium, mycelium, mitalium.
Chest!
Aluminum, maximum, meltimum.
Chest!
Opacium, contaminum, absentium.
Chest!
Solarium, aquarium, terrarium.
Chest!
Vivarium, mycelium, mitalium.
Chest!
Aluminum, maximum, meltimum.
Chest!
Opacium, contaminum, absentium.
Chest!
Solarium, aquarium, terrarium.
Chest!
Vivarium, mycelium, mitalium.
Chest!
Aluminum, maximum, meltimum.
Chest!
Opacium, contaminum, absentium.
Chest!
Solarium, aquarium, terrarium.
Chest!
Vivarium, mycelium, mitalium.
Chest!
Aluminum, maximum, meltimum.
Chest!
Opacium, contaminum, absentium.
Chest! Chest!
Vivarium, mycelium, mitalium.
Chest!
Aluminum, maximum, meltimum.
Chest!
Opacium, contaminum, absentium.
Chest!
Thank you.
high chest. This show is for you, chest. We hope it doesn't make you blush too much. We would like to make a portrait of you. Thick and solid dark wood, stained and varnished, with some scratches on the top and not so many on the sides. Two hinges on the top side, one-third of the way down the width. The hinges are long and metal and were once completely black,
we assume.
The top and bottom piece extend out longer than the sides. There are three small steps running the perimeter of both inner rims. The outer rim that touches the floor has thin arches running its long lengths. From its furthest points, in simulated entirety, 67 centimeters wide, 110 centimeters long, and 40 centimeters high. Inside, lifted open, the cavity holds 135 liters, 72 times the volume of my lungs.
Great.
And now, chest. We would like to play you some lullabies.
Yeah. And the first one is a lullaby called Suogan, right?
Yeah.
And it's a lullaby for the mountains. Yeah. It's an old Welsh lullaby. It's a parent's song of protection and responsibility.
And we will hear it now.
Thank you.
Okay, that was the first lullaby.
A little shout out to Frederik Heinemann for playing that flute.
And then the next lullaby is one that is being sung by my grandmother, whose name is Patricia. And this one.
Alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh, my cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. She greeted her with barrow through streets dark and narrow, and that was the end of sleep. But her ghost rules her barrow through streets broad and narrow, like cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. I don't think that's how it actually goes.
Yeah, I can't remember.
That comes in somehow.
What else?
She died of a fever and no one could save her. Oh yeah, and that was the end of sweet Molly Malone. But her ghost leads her barrow through streets broad and narrow. Wine cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. So there you are now.
Thank you, Granny. Okay, then there's another lullaby. And this one is called Alum. And it is written for melting aluminium.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up is a lullaby called CCL4LSA Feed Yonna and Starlight. And this was written first for a friend and then for another friend. Well, the second friend was a flag. And the flag was called Slug Meat 11.
Thank you.
Okay. Then we have one more lullaby. And this lullaby is for you, Chest. Okay, now we heard a lot of lullabies. So I guess, Chest, we are firmly in the night. And so we will read you this from Kan Shui.
Sky was already dark when they got back to the antique shop. Mr. Yu opened the door with a key. It was dark inside too. The electricity was out, an everyday occurrence at the shop. They are already here, Go and hide, Mr. Yu said. He pushed A Liang away and disappeared among the display cabinets. A Liang's whole body turned cold. A firefly lit and then went dark inside of her. She groped her way to the wall, feeling along it to the stairwell. There was someone squatting on the stairs. It was the antique shop owner. After I got off work, I came over to look around. There are three electricians repairing the circuits. Owner Su, have I brought more chaos into the store? A Liang asked in a quiet voice. No, it's nothing. Besides, I'm not afraid of chaos. The three of them, I mean the electricians, are upset. The repairs are getting more difficult. It's the kind of damage that doesn't leave any traces behind. The shop is tottering, about to collapse. Mr. Yu always takes charge. Are you going upstairs? Go to the room and stay there. Mr. Yu cannot fail. You should believe in him. A Liang felt her way to the door but couldn't open it. She sat down in the hallway. She sensed, as usual, an eerie stillness. Even though Mr. Yu would share his woes with her after every incident, saying he was tired and out of breath, or close to a collapse from which he might never wake, A Liang did not hear anything. She had asked Mr. Yu about this, and he had said, "That is because you are at the center of the turmoil." All of a sudden, she felt wet plants on the wall. A large quantity of them, probably flowers. Oh, the entire surface of the wall was spread with roses. Hold on," she said. "I'm here, near you." His voice was faint. A Liang pressed her face into the roses, the thorns pricking her cheeks. She thought, how good, I also have flowers that bloom for me. I'm not afraid of dying. The sensation of death must be good. She thought again of the three anxious electricians, imagining them as figures clambering around the hall of the antique shop like monkeys. Some person or wild animal swatted her from above. Rose petals fell onto her face. She stood, feeling happy. "Who are you?" she murmured. "I'm your cousin." To her surprise, it was a woman. "I came to the city a long time ago and I've been selling flowers this whole time." "So it's Xiao Mei. Where's your flower shop?" "It's a secret. Don't you have secrets too? The air is so fresh here." A Liang heard Xiao Mei's voice above her, little by little moving further away. The door to the room was by her right hand. She gently pushed it open. She knew Mr. Yu was sitting on the bed. "Roses," she said. "Yes, roses and evil spirits. I'll resist until the last moment. I'm going down below. Goodbye." The door gently shut. The room was not as dark because of the moonlight. Ailiang recalled someone telling her that some of the flower shops in the city were actually moneylenders. Maybe A. Mai was in the moneylending business. That would be very dangerous. A bulb suddenly turned on, stabbing her eyes. Ailiang felt an inarticulate fear. The door was locked tight and the windows also shut. What was there for her to be afraid of? Still, she hid inside the closet. When the sky was light, Mr. Yu returned, holding a shattered bronze incense burner in his hand. He threw the incense burner onto the floor, lay face up on the bed, and went to sleep. Ailiang had seen the incense burner clearly, but when she bent over to pick it up, it had vanished. There was nothing on the floor. She started to laugh quietly, finding this amusing. She opened the door, stuck her head out, and saw that the hallway looked the same as usual. She yearned for those roses. Inside one of the rooms, Mr. Yu went in a dream to Sea Line Drive. A blood-red sun was sinking as a crowd of people raced along. Mr. Yu also began to run, shouting a stranger's name in his mouth. He thought once again that he had reached a critical juncture of life and death. Ahead was the sea. Should he dash into the water? He was not allowed much time to think. Now the crowd was carrying him. Both of his feet left the ground. Growing excited, he could not keep from crying the name aloud. Wu Da Wai, Wu Da Wai. He saw the seawater surge toward him. That swaying duck-egg yolk must be the sun. For many years, young Mr. Yu felt that he was developing a strong wild nature. No one knew this tendency in him. People saw him as a cultured, careful, excessively particular, and slightly effeminate appraiser of antiques. His palms would often break out in heat, his fingertips trembled, and he had difficulty focusing. In these respects, his constitution did not suit his profession. His secret was in his teeth. He had a mouthful of sharp wolf fangs that Kui Lang had observed unawares, much to her shock. This mouthful of teeth showed his passion. In the past, he and Long Shi Chiang, the worker from the cotton mill, had a well-matched physical relationship. But they eventually tired of each other. Where are their feasts that never end? From then on, Mr. Yu confirmed to himself that he was not fit to start a family. Naturally, he still pursued women. Then, beyond women, the whole of his remaining energy went to his specialized profession. In Mr. Yu's mind, his work took the form of several endless tunnels. He even thought that he was born to his work, to venture into the darkness of history, to merge into and remold these histories. For him, the fascination of this work was also no less than the attraction of women. As a result, he repeatedly suppressed his decadent side, laying the foundation of a universe in this dark world without sun or sky. His daytime work was merely surface. Only his nighttime wandering was substantial. The owner of the antique shop knew what was happening and was pleased with Mr. Yu's work. Only a few people in the city knew the secret. The antiques were all living things, mysterious and supernatural, that relied on the weaving together of a conspiracy to survive. Strangely, the young woman from the countryside, Ai Liang, seemed to understand this point innately. Ever since Mr. Yu's attachment to the antiques, his personal life divided into two parts. He was good at harmonizing his contradictions, so he never went down dead ends.